Chicago's Century of Progress Exposition was opened on the morning of May 27, 1933. Just before 9 o'clock on that evening, the fairgrounds were illuminated for the first time, the switches being thrown by a ray of light from the star Arcturus. The Arcturus ceremony was presented in the court of the Hall of Science before a vast throng and was recorded at that time. Through the courtesy of the late Rufus C. Dawes and of Philip Fox, now director of the Museum of Science and Industry, the records were loaned to the Arcturians, and this re-recording was made in 1940. You have doubtless already recognized the strains of the Pomp and Circumstance March, which was being played by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, Dr. Frederick Stock conducting. President Rufus C. Dawes follows immediately.
Gentlemen, in this exposition, we celebrate both the achievements of the century and the extension of the limits of human knowledge. In our ceremonies this evening, we recall one of the greatest achievements of Chicago during the century, and we do it in a manner that demonstrates the advance that men have made in scientific knowledge. We shall recall the Great Columbia Exposition of 1893. Never will its beauty be surpassed. Never will its value to the city be exceeded. It was for Chicago a great triumph. We remind ourselves of that triumph tonight by taking rays of light that left the star Arcturus during the period of that exposition and which have traveled at the rate of 186,000 miles per second until at last they have reached us. We shall use these rays to put into operation the mysterious forces of electricity, which will make light our grounds, decorate our buildings with brilliant colors, and move the machinery of our exposition. In every step we behold the marvel of man's genius and illustrate the progress made by man during the century in using the forces of nature for his comfort and convenience. Our program will be conducted by eminent men of science who have conceived of this idea and carried it into execution. First, I shall have the honor of presenting to you Dr. Edward B. Frost, Emeritus Chief of the Yerkes Observatory at Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Dr. Frost.
Dolls, ladies and gentlemen, it has seemed a suitable arrangement to, on the occasion, this memorable occasion, an inspiring one, to when this great exposition is to be officially illuminated for the first time, that we should employ the light of the great star Arcturus. In adopting this plan, the management of the fair have quite literally followed the precepts of Ralph Waldo Emerson, uttered many years ago when he said, "Hitch your wagon to our star." Arcturus is one of the brightest stars of our summer sky, known ever since men first turned their eyes in wonder toward the glories of the heavens. It is a yellow sun, having a diameter about 25 times that of our own sun, and radiating about 100 times as much light. It is highly probable that it has been sending out its light toward us and in all other directions of space for hundreds of millions of years. It has advanced to a state of development not greatly different from that of our own sun, and we know that it contains the same chemical elements that occur in our sun and that are also found in our planet. We astronomers speak of it as one of the nearer stars, and rightfully, because among the thousands of millions forming our galaxy, the great Milky Way system, there are hardly more than 100 that have been found to be nearer to us than Arcturus itself. However, its distance is enormous, of the order of 225 million, million miles. The vibrant rays of light coming to us have required 40 years to span this bit of the void of space. The rays which arrive now and actuate the photoelectric cells at the focus of our telescope trained upon the star, therefore left it at the time when the civilized world was directing its eyes toward that marvel of beauty, the great Columbian exposition of 1893 in Chicago. One of the striking exhibits of that exhibition was the great 40-inch Yerkes telescope, which Mr. Charles T. Yerkes had just presented to the new University of Chicago to serve as the principal of research in the Yerkes Observatory, soon to be erected at Williams Bay, Wisconsin, on the shore of Lake Geneva. That telescope still remains the largest of its type that has yet been constructed. As the idea of employing the light of the star on this occasion occurred to me at that observatory, it seemed proper that we should catch the rays of the star with that telescope and convert it in the photoelectric cell to the electric current necessary for our purpose. But on account of the danger of the cloudy sky at any one station, it is thought much wiser to arrange a circuit, including the observatories of Harvard, of the University of Pittsburgh, and the University of Illinois, so that we should be more confident of the success of this experiment. The Columbian Exposition did not include, among its many wonderful exhibits, a photoelectric cell. But scientific men were already beginning to study the curious effects produced when light fell upon the surface of alkaline metal, whereby a very feeble current of electricity was generated. Impelled by that curiosity which drives men to continue indefinitely their researches to find out the mysteries of nature, the scientists continued earnestly, especially in Germany, at this work. And during all of these 24 years that have elapsed since the rays arriving tonight left Arcturus, inventors ever ready to make use of the discoveries of pure science have aided greatly in the improvement of the technique of the apparatus and have found many practical applications of this instrument in the daily life of the people and in the great industry. It is often nowadays called the mechanical eye. It has served the astronomers in recent years to the greatest advantage by enabling them to measure with the highest precision the brightness of the stars without depending upon the capriciousness of the human eye. Thus, science and invention together have produced an apparatus which, catching the rays of light from Arcturus and concentrating it upon the photoelectric cell at these observatories, produces a current which, when properly amplified and transmitted over telegraph lines to this great assembly, will throw a switch which, in a few moments, will cause the illumination of the ground for our benefit. May we not feel that this in itself is a signal illustration of the amazing advances that have been made in the century of progress.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for that very interesting event to which we have looked forward for so long. Dr. Philip Fox, the director of our Adler Planetarium, will explain to you what is happening and very soon will give the signal that will provide the illumination of 3.5 miles of our lakefront that constitutes a century of progress ground. I have the honor to present Dr. Philip Fox.
President Dog, revered master, ladies and gentlemen, on an occasion such as this, when we have just heard the astronomer who has spent his life in single devotion to his star, who sees more through the veil which has clouded his vision than most of us with the gift of sight, whose happy idea it was to impress upon us the progress of science by a dramatic demonstration, when we give thought to the power of the human mind, unraveling the well-nigh inscrutable mysteries of nature, we are persuaded that man ascends to a holy hill and is touched with a spark of divinity. We quote the words of the invitation to prayer. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. We stand here on the rostrum in the court of the Hall of Science, a temple to the reign of law. The rostrum thrust forward like a prow of a ship, out toward the lagoon and toward the open water of Lake Michigan. For figurehead, we might have taken Minerva, the goddess of wisdom, like Nike of Samothrace. And below, a sea of faces, for thousands of people have come here this evening, as to the Delphic oracle of old, to witness a miracle. The lighting of the Century of Progress Exposition through the light of a star. I cannot see these faces, but I know they are intent. Solemn, perhaps, many with the ancient challenge in their hearts. Canst thou bring forth Mazaroth in his season? And canst thou guide Arcturus with his son? Has man the stature that he may reach into the sky to bend Arcturus to our purpose? Behind us is the vast bulk of the Hall of Science. It lifts its shadowy form toward the heavens. Nowhere in this entire league of lakefront is a lighted building visible. The day is done. Twilight has faded on the wings of dawn. Sweet the coming on of grateful evening mild, then silent night, with this her solemn bird, and this fair moon, and then the gems of heaven, her starry train. Were it only cloudy, were it only clear, we could look into the sky and see the star Arcturus, see the moon, and see Mars and Jupiter above her. We await the moment, all in readiness, till the light of Arcturus shall be used to awaken into action the electrical impulses through which, after successive amplification, the entire exposition ground will be transformed into a fairyland. You have been told why Arcturus has been chosen. You have been told that its distance is approximately 40 light years. How can one measure the distance to the stars? Just a century ago, an even century, in 1832 and 1833, the first observations which yielded definite knowledge of distance of a star were made. Our whole knowledge of the scale of the mighty architectural plan of the universe has been acquired within the century. A century of progress, 100 years of the enrichment of the mind. But what is the enrichment of the mind if not put into service? It must be reinforced with faith and honesty and fair dealing and courage. Traits of character such as the men who have brought this exposition into being have demonstrated to us. Men of the spirit of Chicago, men of the spirit of America, the pioneer spirit that shall never die. Arcturus, 40 light years away. Across 40 years of time, the Century of Progress Exposition
joins with the World Columbian Exposition. The glories of the past and the present are linked as we pass another great milestone in the history of human progress. To effect the very intricate arrangement necessary for the fulfillment of the unique plan, invaluable assistance has been rendered the Century of Progress, for which it desires to make acknowledgement. We thank the Western Union Company for the use of its wires, for transmitting the impulses from the observatory to the grounds of the exposition. We thank the General Electric Company and the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company for the creation and installation of special apparatus and equipment necessary for the project. And we thank the directors and officials of four great American observatories for their assistance, which they give this evening in intercepting the light rays and making possible their utilization for our purpose. And we have selected four widely separated observatories to avoid the hazard of clouds. Were we observing here, our plans would be frustrated. In choosing those observatories, we would gladly have turned to the west, to those great observatories on the western coast, Victoria, the Lick Observatory at Mount Hamilton, or the Mount Wilson Observatory. But for them, darkness comes later than here, and it would have postponed this ceremony too late into the night. Therefore, they've taken Harvard at Cambridge, Massachusetts, the Allegheny Observatory at Pittsburgh, the University of Illinois Observatory at Urbana, and the Yerkes Observatory of the University of Chicago at Williams Bay, Wisconsin. In front of us stands a board, the top of which is 60 feet above the ground. At the top of this board, we see the insignia of the companies who are participating in this epoch-making event. First, the Western Union. Second, in a circle to my left, the General Electric Company. On to the right, the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company. In lighted pockets, I see the necessary switches and relays and the generator which will symbolize the voice of Arcturus. Across the entire bottom of the board, a huge map of the part of our country which is now in twilight or darkness. Dim lights indicate the location of the participating observatories. Harvard, Allegheny, Illinois, and Yerkes. And now the moment has arrived. Should any observatory of these four have clouds, their circuit will be closed manually. And I report now that the Harvard College Observatory is under clouds. The other three have clear skies. The light of the star Arcturus will be first intercepted at Harvard, turned into an electric impulse, and transmitted by wire to Chicago, which will close the first of the four switches. And I ask Professor Shapley at Harvard, is Harvard ready? Observe. Open your telescope or close your switch. Now, as if by magic, unaided by a human hand, one of the four switches has been closed. And as I gaze upon the board, I see the blighted panel reading Harvard. I see a light on the map at Harvard. I see a red line extending from Harvard to visualize the delivery of the signal. And I hear a hum.
It symbolizes the voice of Arcturus, speaking through the Harvard College Observatory. Now the Allegheny Observatory will send us the second impulse from the star Arcturus. Are you ready, Allegheny? Send us your signal. As before, I see the light on the board. Show that Allegheny has joined us. I see the lamp show on the map. I see a second red light dart across the map, and Allegheny has delivered the impulse. And I hear the rising hum, indicating that Arcturus is speaking to us through an added second channel. Our third observatory at Illinois should be ready. Are you ready, Illinois? Then join us. We are waiting. And again, the lighted panel on the board, the glowing light on the map, and the red lighted path indicate the three observatories have done their part, and the rising hum from Arcturus approved. Three switches have now been closed with their help. In a second, the fourth switch will light a gigantic searchlight on the tower of the Hall of Science. This searchlight will then play upon the building one after another. And as it rays strike each, you will see it burst into light until the entire exposition becomes one blaze of color, the like of which has never been witnessed before. And now, Yerkes, to you has been given the honor of completing the signal. Yerkes, send us your signal. It's here. The Yerkes panel is lighted. That shows that Yerkes is in. The glowing red line travels to Chicago and encircles it, connecting together the signals of the three participating sister observatories. The signal is complete, and the star at Chicago on the map springs into brilliancy. The voice of Arcturus, now pitched high, indicates the completion of his participation, and the searchlight on the tower blazes forth its beam of light, like the blazing purpose of mankind.